This is a HeadGum Original.
It's Punch Up the Jam. This is Evan, one of your hosts, still in a dark, dark, depressed place without my co-host and brother, Andrew Greger, who's still on his paternity leave, so I've recruited recent guest and also my other brother, Michael Greger, to join me as guest host for this very special episode in which we're going to talk about an utterly lame song that manages to be a global hit. A lot of times we bring in songs that are just beloved and maybe I struggle to punch them up. Maybe we struggle to figure out what are we going to improve about this one. But this is a real stinker, in my opinion. And we're going to get into it with the wonderful guest. And without further ado, let's punch up the jam.
Let's punch it.
Michael, thanks for coming back and lending your talents.
Heaven O, it is an honor and a privilege. Heaven O means hello, but you have to imagine me as an angel when I say it.
Yeah, it doesn't have that downer connotation of using the word hell. Every time you say hello, really tends to bring me down. Heaven O, it's lifting me up. I'm feeling a lot better now.
Yeah, I think there was like a viral story long, long ago of like some Texas town changing their official greeting to Heaven O. And ever since then, I was just obsessed with it. I wonder if that town is stuck with it or if they gave up after like a year. It's like Alexander Graham Bell when he wanted everyone to say, ahoy, hoy.
Instead, but somebody came up with hello and it beat out ahoy in the marketplace of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Now Heaven O is
going to win. What a marketplace.
Yeah. Guys, this week we're talking about Beggin' by Måneskin. It looks like Maine skin. If you're American, if you're European, you probably pronounce it Måneskin. I learned that the word is Danish and is properly pronounced Måneskin. But to me, it just looks a little bit too much like foreskin to feel comfortable. That we're talking about the song Begging, which is a massive hit. And we've brought on the show an awesome guest. Let's bring him out.
Welcome.
This week, we have Daniel Thrasher, YouTuber extraordinaire, and specifically a music comedian who has such insight into the world of what it means to be an artist, what it means to be a musician in these digital times. And he's here in advance of going out on tour. So we're extremely excited to have on the show Daniel Thrasher. Hey, Daniel, welcome to the show.
Woo! Heaven of...
Oh, whoa. No!
That was more heavenly
than
mine.
Oh, no, he brought his own soundboard.
I was defeated already.
How exciting. Hello, I am here from above.
He heavened his own heaven.
That was hell. That was pits of hell. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a much different experience. Yeah, that's so different. I mean, I didn't even touch the soundboard, for those of you listening. That's just what it sounds like when you say hello.
Alexander Graham Bell wishes he had that technology. He would have made ahoy hoy happen with some kind of sailor filter.
Heaven O sounds like Cheerios, like some kind of like so a dish, a cereal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be very successful cereal if in the Bible Belt crowd. Yeah, it's like Cheerios.
Mormon community.
Yeah, but it's whole grains.
Holy grains.
Yeah, holy, yes, yeah, exactly right. And it's great for your colon.
On a million-dollar idea, guys.
Yeah, let's start that in Salt Lake City right now.
Yeah, I love that.
Daniel, we wanted to have you on the show for ages, and it happened to work out this week. You responded with alacrity, with no hesitation about what song we should be looking at.
Correct.
And if I'm not mistaken, you said this was your most hated song.
Yes.
This is the song that most annoys you.
Every time I hear it, my skin curdles.
I tend to agree. Pitch me on what is it that's doing the curdling? What is it about this song?
Man, you know what it is? It's this section. Well, okay, vocal tonality aside,
oh,
maybe
no.
That's fine. It's that interval right there It's that interval right there that just, man, turns my nipples into innies. You know what I'm saying? Makes my body withdraw into itself. It's just it's like I will hear that combination of intervals. Let me back. Maybe this is particular to me.
I tell you what, let me play. I'm picking up what you're putting down. That okay. What you're describing really resonates with me, the repetition of the melody, the sound of the voice. I'm just going to play the opening clip of the song.
Please do.
So that everyone knows what exactly we're talking about.
Put your loving hand out, bitch.
Oh, God.
For an intro, I feel like we were not introduced. It just went fully in. It went all the way down my ear canal. Wow.
Yeah, I saw it described online a couple of places as it sounds like he gargled lava. It sounded like he got kicked in the balls.
Yeah.
It sounded like it was the work of Satan.
Yeah.
But something about this song is working. Let me drop on you, if you will, a few, as we call them, song facts.
Song facts! Song facts!
This song, last summer, Beggin' by Måneskin, was the Spotify global number one. It just doesn't get bigger than that in terms of the scale of a hit.
How many streams are we talking?
We're talking a billion streams.
What?
Now, it broke in the U.S. pretty big. It's number 13 on the U.S. Hot 100, but it's really number one in many European countries. So it's really big here, but it's even more of a European phenomenon. I'll tell you the names of these guys. The singer is Damiano David. The bassist, Victoria De Angelis. Guitarist, Thomas Raggi. And drummer, Ethan Torchio. The band's from Italy, but the name Måneskin means moonlight, because one of their members, I think Victoria the bassist, is Danish. So that's how they schemed up the name. She's a werewolf. She eats human flesh.
That's great.
I think we can deduce she bit out the throat of the singer. I don't have proof.
Right.
I'm just going off what my ears are telling me.
It does sound like that's the agony of transforming into another beast.
To me, I think tracing like a thumbnail sketch of the band's history, I think unlocks some clues as to why we've been subjected to this song so much. The band has only been around 4 or 5 years. They are young. They met in high school, and they're busking in Rome, basically, until they catch a break trying out for X Factor. The X Factor,
really?
Italy. You know, every country has their own version of the X Factor. It probably started in the UK, I assume.
Break?
Yeah, so they try out for X Factor Italy and get on the show. I have to say, they're all very good-looking.
Mm-hmm.
Not a weakness.
As every musician should be.
For every musician... You know, that's the way the cookie crumbles. It just so happens that every popular musician in the world is drop-dead gorgeous, and they have it happening in this department, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Damiano David, the lead singer, looks like a cross between Jared Leto and Fabio. I don't know.
Pretty good combo. So
they play second on the thing, but of course, when you're on that show, you maybe you try to sneak in some originals, but that's not how you win the show. You play the covers.
Right.
And so this song, Beggin', is one of the songs that they played memorably on the show, and it is a cover of a 50-year-old song by the Four Seasons.
Wow.
You know, the same dudes that are singing, Sherry!
Mm-hmm.
Those guys. Hit makers from, you know, massively popular band from the 60s. I'll play you their version. I'm going to play it for you right now. This is the original version of this tune, Beggin'. I'm going to start it right when the tempo drops.
That's cool. Let's do it.
This is a bop. You compare it to, like, Sherry or it sounds good. Or like a couple of their other early hits. Walk Like a Man. You know, all that stuff. Those early hits for the Four Seasons sound really 50s, really doo-wop-y, super white.
Mm-hmm.
And this tune, Beggin', is all of a sudden, it's kind of a new sound for them. Barring all these soul, rhythm section sounds like a soul band. It's just kind of a different sound for them. This one was covered a lot by soul bands, like lesser known soul bands in small ways at the time, and those have all kind of been lost to history. But there was a huge cover of this song about 15 years ago in 2007. There's a Norwegian hip hop duo called Madcon that covered Beggin'. And it's I don't think it splashed too much in the U.S., but it's huge in Europe. Now, let me play you a little bit of that, because
Madcon sounds like a convention of furries or something. Was it? Or is it really just a band?
It's really just two dudes. Two guys that are African immigrants to Norway and started a hip-hop duo. Their version of Beggin' is great, and what Måneskin has basically done is covered their version. Måneskin's version is really a cover of the cover, including all the new raps that Madcon added. So I'll just play a little bit of what the Madcon version sounded like.
Is this one of them singing?
Yeah. So, let me dial it down a bit here. So Madcon re-recorded every element. This is not a sample of the Four Seasons like other DJs had done.
Yeah.
Madcon did
a
full re-record, and they added, I think, two different rap verses. Let's see if I bop over to one of their verses. Let's see if I found one. But I keep walking on, keep open doors, keep open for that the call is yours, keep closing home,
cause I don't wanna live in a broken home, girl, I'm back. Why does this slap so hard? It feels like it ages really well, too.
I agree, man. It's 2022, and that song still sounds really good. It's a big hit in Europe. It's used in a bunch of TV commercials and stuff like that. So it really happened for Madcon. And so that's probably living large in the minds of Europeans, including the kids in Måneskin, when they get on the X Factor, like, what songs can we cover effectively as a four-piece rock band? So when they're on the X Factor, they go off at night. They're probably busy on the TV show. They go off and record an EP. They're like, our career is happening. We're on TV. We got to record something quick. So they tossed off like a 5 or 6 track EP, and Beggin' is on there. So in my opinion, that's one of the reasons it sounds like a little bit half-baked. To me, it sounds like a bar band that's kind of slugging it out, but not super produced. And that's probably because it wasn't super produced, and they kind of tossed it off in a few hours as kind of a live performance in the studio. And anyway, so they play second. But the big break is last year they won Eurovision. That's the biggest song contest in the world. You know, has a history of breaking huge acts. Not every year. Sometimes the acts go away, but you know, who do we know from Eurovision over the years? ABBA, Celine Dion, pretty sure got their breaks on.
I've heard of her.
You've heard of them. So anyway, but it's obviously it's mostly European things. So what happens is their winning song, which is called Zidi e Buoni, goes and becomes like a big TikTok trend, I think, in Europe. But it can't make the jump to here. And then people start pulling their other sounds. Sure enough, the English language one is the one that can go global. So last year, there's like massive dance trend. You know, once you get that Charli D'Amelio post doing a dance on Beggin', then you're golden.
You're golden, Pony Boy.
That's great. Yeah.
I'm just sad that it wasn't Zidi Buoni. I would love to hear that. It has a lot of potential.
Zidi Buoni.
You know, I have heard when I tweeted once that Beggin' is my least favorite song of all time. And
how's the responses to that?
The response to that was like, it's not even their best song. Like, don't measure them by that song. Like, there's so many other good songs. And I was like, that's all I heard. So I just, you know. So I'm sure they're a great band. I'm sure they're great. It's just that particular song just rubs me the wrong way. If there were a right way to rub me, they did not do that.
Daniel, do you think you're like the Manchurian candidate? You were like programmed to activate to murder someone when you hear the scale degrees. Ba, 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 you were just waiting for that precise rhythm and scale degree order.
You know what? Let me say this really weird thing. I don't know if this is with anybody else. I don't know if this means I'm an auditory learner or what. But when I was a kid, when I was like 3, 4, 5, there was like a little keyboard, right? A little four-colored baby toy piano.
Okay.
And so it'd be like red, blue, green, yellow. And I would play with this little thing in daycare, and I would constantly try to play the keys. Like let's say those are the only four notes you have.
Hypothetically,
and
sure.
I would go... And I would just play that over and over and over again when I was like a baby, when I was really young.
Yeah.
And I played it so frequently. And the reason why I did it in that order is because I wanted to play notes that weren't close to each other. And so I was already thinking about intervals at a young age. But I did that so frequently that when I was sitting by myself in like kindergarten, I would hear those notes over and over again in my mind, and I would couple that with like a mental image of my dad like doing the robot. And so I'd hear da, 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 da. So maybe there's something about begging that triggers that thing that
your
I did
dad doing
when
the
I was
robot?
A kid.
That's it.
Like,
you're having a sense memory. You're having a sense memory of your own imagined vision of
yes.
your dad, and you're scared of robot dad. I get it. Every
yeah,
time Began
dad.
Every time Began comes on, he's terrifying. This authority figure. You know, this is actually reminding me of, speaking of authority figures and your melody, this is reminding me of when we were kids. Michael composed a song very similar in structure.
This is not a song. It was an exercise, right? A musical exercise.
I'll tell you what. Maybe you're thinking of something different, but we would say the blessing at dinner, and it always ended with the word amen. But Michael thought that we were talking to a real person called Himen, who was going to kill us if we didn't offer them some kind of sacrifice.
Like He-Man?
Just a fictional god called Himen. He was mishearing amen or amen or something. And every night we're pausing to say, like, ask him for things.
I was like, this guy sounds terrifying. So we got to beg him to keep us alive.
Michael thought we were praying to a Cthulhu-type deity named Himen. And he composed a song, which, if I recall, Michael, you just correct me. This is what I remember, that 4-year-old Michael would sing this song that went, him and him and him and him and don't do that to me. That was the song.
Very tuba march kind of melody, you know, not my proudest melody. Must have really sucked as a 3-year-old.
That's wild.
But I'm loving imagining a 1-year-old Daniel being like a gatekeeping 1-year-old. Like the other kids are like riding like beep, beep, beep. And you're like, oh, come on. It's so
played
out.
Come on. All those notes are next
all
to each other.
All those notes. Yeah. So easy.
The pattern's too obvious.
KBC, the preschool 1, 2, 3 are looking at you going, he's a prodigy. And in your own mind, you're thinking, I'm scared of the robot.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm picturing just like a eep, boop. Meep, yeah, just picturing that movement back and forth. It was nauseating. I mean, I was like, do I need to talk to somebody about this? Like, I just couldn't get these pitches out of my head. It's very nuts, yeah. I think maybe that's what Maneskin or Maneskin or however they're pronounced did for me, is they unlocked that sort of forbidden memory of...
Do you have an image of, or you have like a place in mind, like where you first heard this? For me, it started to become ubiquitous, and so I can't remember the first place I heard it. I associate it with like pharmacies and grocery stores now, where it comes on sort of like adult contemporary playlists.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I guess it's TikTok. It's like seeing I love TikTok. I think it's so funny. Whenever I'm scrolling through TikTok, if I hear Began, I immediately just run. I don't think it's as big on TikTok today as it was.
Yeah, it was big last summer, and the dance trend was like so many other TikTok things. You do a transformation, and right when he's singing, we'll get to this in about 2 minutes of the playback. There's a lyric where he, for some reason, goes, ra-ta-ta! And that's the TikTok moment where you change from your street clothes into your glam rock clothes. And that's it. Yeah. That's the trend. Yeah. And I guess that's the main thing of note about these guys, other than that they're a 4-piece rock band doing kind of normal-ish rock band stuff. I think they sound like they're from 1999 to me. The thing that's notable about them is how much eyeliner they wear. They're really into the glam rock fashion. It's a Billy Joe Armstrong style of eyeliner plus.
Right.
Upgraded.
Maybe because I didn't know that song super well before hearing it now. But I just don't really know. It's a weird song. Like if they did a cover of House of the Rising Sun, I'd be all about it. Probably. Probably.
You think the growl could sell you on that one?
Yeah, he's a house in Orleans. Yeah, sure, why not?
Well, let's talk more about the growl. I'm going to play some more clips, and you tell me whether you like it or not.
Zombie.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here we get into verse number one.
I'm begging, begging you to put your loving hand out, baby. I'm begging, begging you to put your loving hand out, darling.
Is he sharp?
Oof. Is he sharp?
Is he sharp?
I'm begging you.
Maybe a little bit. I think that his secret weapon, which is both the thing that annoys me and probably has drawn in millions of fans,
yeah,
is his incredible growl.
Mm-hmm.
I know he looks up to, say, like the Steven Tyler or Chris Love Cornell Steven. That like make their signature sound is being able to fry their voice,
yeah,
in a way that sells the emotion of the song, you know? It's just like it's a hack that gets right into your
right.
animal
your
brain
core.
and yeah. and tells you like, wow, this guy is toe up about this.
I gotta say, I think that Nickelback singing is coming back into fashion. Just like listening to this and also seeing other TikTok trending sounds, not all of them, but some other growly people have gotten big. And it just feels like that 20-year cycle thing where if you do something from 20 years ago, it's been long enough that it can be fresh. You know, just kind of like how Shrek became a meme in 2016. Memes yeah. are on a 15-year cycle. So it's like, okay, the movie is from the beginning of the 2000s. Now we can have memes about Shrek. And in music, it's a 20-year cycle. It's like, all right, we had Creed, we had Nickelback. Now we're going to have some more growly people.
Now singing like that is back in. Singing like this.
You know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like, okay, it sounds like you are Nicolas Cage and you're in National Treasure 5 and you're going into a pyramid. You're like trapped in a pyramid or a tomb and suddenly a mummy like pops out.
Yeah.
The mummy who's
yeah.
like a super rich or famous person from whatever 1000 BC. And they have been so well embalmed that they still have a mm-hmm. larynx and they're trying to sing at you. They're begging you. They're pleading for a sandwich. They're pleading for you to put them
starving.
Out of their misery. And their larynx is just bursting at the seams because the embalmment, like the Vaseline is wearing off, is like
yeah.
exploding. Their throat is exploding, but they can still make a note, barely. That's what it sounds
yeah.
like to me.
Yeah, he sounds like the Crypt Keeper.
So hang on to your hats, kiddies.
Oh
this
my gosh.
One's a real shocker.
I don't know, something about when he goes, I'm begging. I just hear
yeah.
I hear the vocal nodes growing.
Developing.
Yeah, like a coral yeah. like a coral polyp, a coral reef is growing in his larynx.
Wow.
Just you know, I'm doing a 6-month countdown to vocals surgery.
It's like he's singing between getting choked.
Yes, perhaps during.
Yeah. Yes.
He was in the middle of his nighttime routine and like the producer or the label showed up he was at gunpoint. They're like, you got to record now. But sir, I'm gargling my Listerine. No, you can't spit it out. Sing.
I'm in mid gargle.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't work for me. It annoys me. It's too far. But obviously it's working. It's selling the song to so many people that are like, yeah, wow, man, this guy is really begging.
I will
he
say...
really be
he,
begging.
He really be begging. Wow. God, sounds like he's half dead.
One reason this type of singing could feel fresh to a lot of people is that we've gone through a long period of such high vocal production where people are tuned to a level of kids boppiness.
Mm-hmm.
People are
yep.
cutting out the kids bop middleman,
mm-hmm.
the people doing the kids bop, and they're like, I'm going to kids bop myself on my own single. You know these songs like All About That Bass, those sorts of things that are so processed. So I'm not defending the growl here. I'm just saying that to a listener that's been oversaturated with tuniness, it could feel fresh.
Like the only way to dance to begging is by like swaying like a Charlie Brown character and just like keeping your head down. And, you know, the only thing you can do is really like kind of move your butt a little bit. And
so you're saying
know,
Bonnaroo dancing.
Yes.
You're right. The whole vibe is very much we're watching the third tier stage at Bonnaroo.
The this-that stage.
The this-that stage.
and her opening G Love and the Special Sauce is going to play in like 3 hours at like the headline time, and they're playing now, and you're like, all right, well, I got to reserve my spot. I'm going to stand up at the front here and do my sway. Do my arm wavy thing, the hippie dance. Yeah.
You do your festival dance where you're half into it, but also you're conserving energy.
I think a melody has to kind of work on its own. It has to go somewhere, and I think there's something about that. It just,
I'm glad that hasn't activated you to violence.
You know,
the Manchurian-ness of it only activated you to annoyance.
Yeah, not yet. I mean, it's probably one of those doomsday buttons that will unlock like in the next 5 years. Like when you see me on the front page of the New York Times in 5 years, it's because of begging.
You were hypnotized as a child and you're still under that spell. Like the guy that says, when I snap my fingers, you will think you're an octopus that's competing on Top Chef.
Captain America Civil War.
Yes, it's like Civil War.
Oh, this is the perfect subject. Will he murder the candidate for prime minister? No, sir. He will rob the Chipotle of all the carne asada. Fresh made.
Yes.
Activate Winter
Soldier.
He will
leave the sofritas options.
Play begging. You know, I just want to compare the Frankie Valli version. I'm stuck on this. Like, it just doesn't feel as repetitive to me in the Four Seasons version.
Because it's not the same. The Frankie Valli version, he doesn't go... I think it was begging you.
He does. But he sort of like elides past in a bluesy way. Let me find a little bit of the verse. Try this
out.
Let's
hear it.
I'm begging you. Won't you give your hand?
See how he hits it and falls off?
Begging.
Yeah. It's like if you were to write it down on sheet music, it'd probably look the same. But the way he's delivering it is different and bluesy. He's not sitting on that one note that you hate, that C sharp that you hate.
Da, 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 da.
I think I hated C sharps, and now it's coming out.
Yeah.
Riding high when I was king, I played it hard and fast like everything. I walked away, you want me then, but easy come and easy. And it's worth it. So anytime I bleed, you let me go. Yeah, anytime I feel, you got me, no. Anytime I see, you let me know. But the plan and see, just let me go. I'm on my knees when I'm begging, cause I don't wanna lose you. Hey, yeah.
Ra-ta-ta-ta. So the ra-ta-ta-ta-ta is that's the TikTok moment. But I think it sounds totally insane. It reminds me of the gra-ta-ta kid from
ra-ta-ta-ta.
In a bad way. But
so is what you're hearing that they're kind of playing a four, and then he's singing the C sharp, which makes it a half diminished two, but your ear wants it to be a four, so that's what makes it feel like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, like your ear... You thought it was going to be E minor, but it's kind of a C sharp, half diminished.
Yeah, it's a punch in the gut.
Yeah. And, you know, hearing Frankie Valli and Lord, like taking a little break from the growl is like such a breath of fresh air. And then we go back to the growl and suddenly I'm imagining like Lennon and Lennon's tomb just sitting up being like, I'm begging.
Vladimir Lenin.
Please, Vladimir Lenin, not John Lennon. Like, please take me out of this
tomb.
So
y'all really have an emphasis on the tone, like the vocal tonality.
That's what it is for me. I love that you're focused on the melody, which is boring. It is the same thing over and over again. And then when you're ready for variation, after that you hear the chorus a couple times, and then riding high when I was king, the verse is kind of in the same land. It feels like a repetition, even though it's technically new. Then you're ready for something new. They get to this rap. They're redoing the Madcon rap. And then it gets even more restrictive. They go from four notes down to two. Anytime I bleed, you let me go. Anytime I feed, you let me know.
Mm-hmm.
Super boring. The only thing that's interesting is the energy and the rhythm of the rap. For me, it's the vocal tonality that is so grating. It wears me out. It's fatiguing me. I'm getting physically tired.
Yeah. It's the combo. It's the 1-2 punch right there.
What if this is Chad Kroeger in disguise, just wanting to make a new band so he can escape the Nickelback jokes? He's made this band, and he's like, I'm Danish. I'm not Chad. I am Chord. With a little amazing cross through the O. Chord.
And he moved to Milan.
Chord.
Yes, look at this photograph, but in Danish.
I find it more likely that Chad Kroeger is more like a Dr. No-style Bond villain who's gone undercover and moved to Milan to train Måneskin and Damiano David, the singer, as his disciple.
He's training an army of growl singers.
And assassin, obviously. Daniel is pulled into this plot for sure because he's being triggered by this melody.
Daniel doesn't.
We don't know how he's yet involved. It's going to unfold when some assassination takes place. And I think probably culminating in a gunfight between Daniel and all four members of Måneskin. But we're going to find out that Chad Kroeger's behind it. I think my robot dad is a piece of this as well.
I think I have like a mecha dad suit that I'm supposed to don and like go to war with.
Yeah, you could sense that his robot dance was a little too good for a human to pull off.
Yeah, it was definitely hydraulically motivated.
You know, one thing we haven't really talked about is the words to this song, Begging. I haven't really taken them up as a topic the way we do in a typical episode, because Måneskin didn't write them. I'm mostly just talking about their performance of the cover, right? But that is something we could look at for the punch-up. We got to be considering what is it we can do to make this thing better. What Måneskin has done, in our opinion, is already like a punch down. There were two pretty good versions of this song out there. The original, 50 years ago, this pretty cool cover in 2007 by Madcon, that's the one that Måneskin is just ripping.
So yeah,
those punch-ups already exist. The one we're listening to is a punch down.
And I got a note, Evan. Is it a coincidence that the two times I assisted you here, the songs are guys shouting at you and begging you for something? Because the other time, Daniel, it was Wake Me Up by Evanescence. And there's a guy saying, Wake me up! For like the whole song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or are you just, always going to be the yelling and begging guy?
Oh, it's definitely a vibe that you're bringing.
You're bringing that to the table.
For sure.
That's going to become my Manchurian Captain America Civil War trigger.
Yeah, every time someone yells, can't wake up! At you, you're going to wake up.
I'm truly going to wake up.
Let me play just a little more of Beg, and I want to hone in on some of the rap bits. Maybe we'll take a look at those lyrics.
I used to be the shadow all my life was dragging over me. Broken man that I don't know. Won't even stand, I never stand to be my soul. Why we chewing? Why we chasing? Why the bottom? Why the basement? Why we got good? She don't embrace it. Why the feel for the need to replace me? You're the wrong way, trying to run the good. I went up in a feature town where we could be at. Like a heart in the best way, shit. You think of it away, you have, and you took the bait. But I keep walking on, keep moving the dog, keep walking for. Then the dog is yours, keep also home. Cause I'm the one that left in a broken home, girl, I'm begging.
Anyway, back to the chorus from there. So that's the whole rap. There's a lot of, you know, English as a second language, skipping and dropping some words in there, but it doesn't matter to a European audience. You just kind of sell it on the basis that it's English. It feels more American in that way. I think a little more cool. The lyrics are like, what we doing? What we chasing? Why the bottom? Why the basement? Why we got good shit? Don't embrace it. Why the feel for the need to replace me?
Yeah, I don't really understand any of that.
You know, just complaining that you're girlfriend, that your significant other has moved on. You're begging for her to come back. I want to paint a picture telling where we could be at. To me, something about singing on that one note, you know, the previous rap was like, anytime I seek you, let me know, but I plan to see you, just let me go. Something about singing on that one note reminds me of the white guy rap, Chickity China, the Chinese chicken.
I don't know what that is.
You remember that one?
I feel like I need to see that.
Are you pranking us, Evan?
No, I have this song.
Because I'm starving. Cool. Is this a lunch order? Because we could just get that out of the way.
This is from the song, I don't know, this is a big hit 20 years ago, Bare Naked Ladies. The song's 1 week.
Oh.
China, the Chinese chicken. You have a
yeah.
Your brain stops.
You know that one? It was like half the song is him
Macarena.
Yeah, just kind of listing things on the one note. I'm talking about stuff and I'm singing it on one note. And it sounds a lot like this. What we doing? What we chasing? Why the bottom? What a basement? You can give it away. You had it took. I don't know. When we listen to the Madcon version, it works for me. It still has soul. It's still working. Here's their version, you know. It's a replacement. You're on a runway track for the good. I only painted a picture telling where we could be. Yeah, like a heart in a dash way. Listen to the backbeat, man. The drums in this hip hop track sound so good.
Like that, man. The keys too are just like spicy. They're nice.
Yes.
You know, they're it's clean.
Yeah, the light strings in
yes.
the background.
Where in the Måneskin version, to me, there's nothing interesting happening instrumentally. Just the four pieces kind of chugging away, sort of like phoning in the guitar parts. Again, it feels like they recorded this in just a few hours. That's the circumstantial evidence that we have. So the only interesting thing they could come up with is like, okay, let's do a hit at the top of this next chorus.
Yeah, I'm begging, begging you.
And then you're just back into the same old chugga chugga.
Yeah. I bet they had no clue this was gonna become what.
Right.
I'm finding hard to hold my own.
Yeah, you're exactly cool. Right. It's like
that was
cool
a non-growl note. That was the non-growl part.
Okay.
That's a cool little section. I like that section. I don't
Enhance.
Think I've ever heard that.
Enhance non-growl note. I'm gonna skip it back.
Zoom
in.
We got it. Let me go back and zoom in.
Back and to the left.
Here it is.
You hold my own. Just can't make it all alone. I'm holding on. I can't pull back. I'm just a call. Not to make it black. I'm begging, begging you.
Yeah. Back into it. That lasted about 10 seconds.
Yeah, but even then, like, can you identify the melody? Can you regurgitate that melody that you just heard?
Ooh, great. Okay, the great quiz. No, I think I could be about 80%.
I can regurgitate.
I'm fighting hard to hold my own. Just can't make it all alone.
That's it's like a tessitura, like, right? It's like, nah. It's like that, but in slow motion.
I can try to regurgitate the warble. My own, my own.
It got a little, yeah, got a little croony. He let the growl go for one sensitive phrase, but then was sucked back in. You said a minute ago, like, you know, they probably had no idea this was going to be a hit. I think you're basically right. But they knew something would work on this EP because they're having some success on the show. So they're like, we got to bang out a recording and just get something out there. We got to make a few bucks by selling something and capitalize on being on TV.
Yeah.
And then... sure enough, it really took off. I think this probably was a hit at the time, and they had some success in Italy in the next couple of years, but then Eurovision last year just blasted them into the stratosphere.
Good for them, though, because like a billion plays on Spotify adds up to like $20, so like they have enough money now for a cheeseburger.
They could go out to lunch 10 times.
It would have been like winning your quiz 5 times.
Yeah, exactly right.
I think we've pretty much heard the whole song. I'm going to play it out so you can just hear what's left. But now we're just into chorus. It's already been repetitive enough, but now we're just into like a fourth and fifth chorus repeat here.
Oh, baby, yeah. I'm begging, begging you.
I like that two hit.
I'm begging, begging you.
They did a one hit. They did a two hit.
I'm begging.
Still getting the live Bonnaroo recording vibes.
I'm begging, begging.
Ooh, breaking it down, a little breakdown. They're down to just the bass. What do they do next?
Baby, I'm begging, begging.
Drums sneaking back in.
To put you love and hand out.
They faked you. They were building it up, but then they were like, never mind.
Yeah, the song is too long.
It's like they gave up at the end.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Felt like it was going to be a build up and all the instruments were going to layer in, and then you get another chorus yet again, but instead
a little
they just
bit
quit.
Louder now.
They just yeah.
A little bit louder now. I'm still begging you now. You're still trapped in King Tut's tomb. Now more mummies are coming out.
Skeletor shall rise again.
I'm Vladimir Lenin.
He-Man, you shall never take the staff of power from me. I'm begging you.
I'm begging you. I told you that you should be atheist, Soviet Union, but now you're using the Orthodox Church for war propaganda. Begging.
Oh, no. Was that an undead Vladimir Lenin?
Yeah, still going back to Lenin. He's the first embalmed guy I always think of. There's got to be more embalmed guys out there.
Yeah, list of famous embalmed guys.
Is there a Wikipedia
article
for a list?
That's a short Wikipedia
article.
Yeah, wiki bomb.
Let's see. That's something I never Googled before. List of embalmed guys.
We made a Wikipedia video and found a clutch article called List of Lists, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Or it was
awesome.
Like, maybe it was List of like strange Wikipedia articles or something.
I love
Very
that.
Clutch.
Yeah. Sadly, they don't have List of embalmed people on Wikipedia.
Dang.
List of cryogenically frozen people.
Yeah. Once you start clicking on articles about embalmment on Wikipedia, gets dark real quick. Well, probably about as quick as you'd imagine. Probably about as quick as you'd imagine it gets dark. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the CIA has got an eye for you now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my search history
is
so bad. Yeah. I Googled Manchurian candidate and then embalming.
Yeah.
Now we're on a list. Boing.
The NSA is knocking on my door right now.
Or they're like, yes, begging is working.
Yeah, but But I scared the NSA off by playing this.
Put your love.
You know what it sounds like to me? Here's another sound I pulled. You know what it sounds like to me when he goes at the very end of that intro, when he comes down to that note that you hate.
Maybe.
That one sounds like the Jim Carrey bit in Dumb and Dumber.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys! Guys!
Wow.
That should be like one of those spoken intros, like on those cool out, like Kanye albums, when like Bernie Mac is speaking, or he gets like the what is it, the Blaze of Glory clips in his songs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That should play before the song starts.
That's a good punch up idea, is just to preface the whole song with, "Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world? Put your love in."
That's great.
That's great.
I wonder if they started the song with that, because when you're busking, you need to do something to like get people's attention, right? It's like a call to attention. I wonder if they did that when they were busking.
Yeah, you know, totally. Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's a herald.
Watch out that intro, get the attention of the people walking by.
Yeah.
I wonder how well that works. I wonder if he developed that tone also for that. Like, if that was just a byproduct of how he got more eyes on him, is like if he sounded like he has a blade in his throat.
That's a great point. If you're busking, you really got to have some stunts in your pocket. It can't just be about subtlety and your musicality and, I played the perfect arpeggio and everyone's ears pricked up. No, it doesn't work that way. You start your busk with a scream, with an acapella pyrotechnic. That's how you turn heads and make a buck on the subway
platform.
The
euros in your guitar case skyrocket. And how this all relates back to Chad Kroeger is, if you notice this, his book, I always have to steer things back to Chad, or Chord in this case. You notice his tone is like so kind of bright and thin. Mm-hmm. It's almost like you took Chad Kroeger's voice and you put it in a voice mod that took up the formant. Now, for anyone that doesn't know what formant is, it's kind of like the timbre or like the thinness or thickness of your voice. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm speaking at this pitch, and now I'm going to speak at the same pitch, but I'm going to thicken my formant.
I see. Same note, but your voice sort of sounds like the illusion of it being lower.
Like, you could do that in post and with, like, a voice mod, and some people would do it to disguise their voice. When, you know, for example, right now it sounds kind of like I have a deeper voice than I did before, even though I don't, because our brain is fooled by the thick formant.
And right now it's the same, but it's like an 80s nerd voice.
So my theory, again, bringing it back to Chad, is that when Chad escaped to Europe, he is using a voice mod, and he just thinned out his voice. So it's still the growl, but instead of being like, "Look at this photograph," now it's like, "Look at this photograph."
Wow.
You know, what the hell is on Soren's head?
You know, Chad is not a good villain name, but something like Dr. Kroeger would be.
See? There you go.
That's a mastermind.
That's a mastermind.
But how can that be? Look what love gave us. It's full of killing.
Oh, totally villainous.
That world never came.
say that a hero can save us.
Man, that song is a bop. Like, I don't care who you are.
That's the Spider-Man song, right?
It's such a good song. The way the chord resolves is so satisfying.
Going to close on that major.
I'm begging you to send me a hero.
I would love to hear Nickelback cover Begging.
And I would love to hear Måneskin cover Hero.
Yeah, just like a switching of the, like a multi, talk about a multiverse. Mm-hmm. That'd be so interesting to hear.
And then they all get together and play Let's Get It Started.
Huge missed opportunity for No Way Home to not use Nickelback. Just coming through the portal. It's Chad.
Yeah,
and
man. What a mess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we've walked through this song. Obviously, we're all huge fans of this song. What other ideas do we have about what can be done to improve this song that literally sounds like the most annoying sound in the world? Any other brainstorms?
I am up in arms.
You know, sometimes we have a really tall task because the song is great. Somebody brings in a song that they really love, and it's because the song slaps. It feels like, oh, it's really tough to do something to this one. In this case, we've got a song that just feels like a dud, but and also, in history, there are already better, great, fantastic even versions of this song. So that makes this a particularly intimidating project. I don't know that we've had that in the history of the pod, trying to punch up a cover. This cover is bigger by any measure than the original.
Which,
you know, the original was a big hit, but was it a Spotify global number one in 1967? It was not.
Yeah.
You got zero streams. Pathetic.
Yeah. Zero. Barely any streams back then.
Yeah.
Losers. Here's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
What if we did, what, you know what would be kind of nice?
Mm-hmm.
Throwing on a little, I'm really feeling the vocoder vibe.
Okay.
What if we did like an Imogen Heap style Begging?
Yeah.
Wow.
Begging.
One word would,
you know,
suddenly
what I'm
have more notes.
What you say?
I think the solution is more notes.
I'm begging you.
Since it begging, has like begging. Three notes. Yeah, one word would already have more notes than the entire current song.
Yeah.
By having, like, you know, five notes in the vocal.
Yeah, just... You know, just something layered and kind of interesting, you know?
Something layered.
You know,
I like
something,
it.
Something fun.
Just a few new notes. I love sneaking in an extra note. Let's make it a little bit interesting.
You know that famous scene from Amadeus, the movie about Mozart, where he's playing some brilliant composition and some guy's listening and he's like, too many notes. Could you just take a few out? And he's like, oh, which ones do you think I need to take out? Kind of, you know, sneering like this guy doesn't understand the genius. I feel like Begging is like if Mozart had listened and been like, wait, you're right. I need to take out all the notes except for three.
Right.
What if we added a slap bass?
I mean,
a thought.
That'd be pretty cool.
Just a thought.
Yeah, that's some funky junky.
I'm just taking some wet pieces of paper, throwing them at the wall, see what sticks.
That'd infuriate Andrew. Andrew hates the slap bass.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have...
You know what I like? You know what I love?
Hit me with it.
I'm a big fan of pizzicato strings.
Ooh.
That sounds kind of like an AWOL Nation, like Sail, you know? Begging, begging you, yeah.
Oh, it's tense. It's tense. It's dramatic. It's in
very,
a. It's
very
part
dramatic,
of a.
Yeah.
That would be a good indie cover of Begging, where the pizzicato strings are underpinning it, and then that can be the background of a horror movie trailer.
Yeah,
a child would be singing it. You know,
I'm begging, begging you.
The camera does a long dolly down the hallway. You can't quite see what's behind the door.
I'm begging.
Oh, no.
Now Nicolas Cage is no longer a national treasure. He's in The Shining 2 or 3.
Yeah.
I guess there was a second one.
Jeez. This is what we get for inviting on a guest that has their own soundboard rig.
Sorry about it. Oh, I didn't even have that on.
All right.
The more soundboards, the merrier.
Okay, I think let's go ahead, and before things get any worse, let's take a break, and then we're going to bring you back to listen to the punch-up. Okay, we're back, and let me tell you, this one was a tough one to unravel, but we had a lot of the pieces in place while we were talking. We just maybe couldn't see it
clearly until we walked away and took a deep breath. We had all these threads of what is the deal with this growly, raspy voice, and maybe there is a spy or a supervillain somewhere that wants this to come back thing.
We were like Plato before he left the cave, but now we've left the cave and we see it clearly.
And we could see it. You know, we dropped a lot of hints during the interview, so now we can fully understand it. And what we have done is make that message more clear in this song. And this song is now an illustration. It's the story of a super group of supervillains that are coming back to bring back growly singing. It's been out of the mainstream. Måneskin is here to bring it back, and maybe they need some help. Some help from a mentor from the last time that really growly, raspy animal singing was in.
To bring balance to the universe, as one might say.
Yeah, so I think we've done some really great stuff here. I want you to check it out. This is Beggin' Punched Up.
Hey, mi amigo Damiano. It's your boy, Chad. Rip your vocal cords up, baby.
Oh, it sounds just like him.
I'm begging.
Chad Kroger's back, baby!
Got time.
I'm begging you to join my revolution, baby. I'm begging you.
I like how the backup singer
to rip your loving voice out, darling. We've been gone a while since 2005. Training in a mountain bunker where we hide. Learning how to growl. Get that painful sound. Goggle razors with some gravel to chase it down. This time we're gonna be back for keeps. Waking up from a rip and winkle sleep. Now a new generation gonna think it's deep. When you sound like a grandma who choked on her teeth. Hypnotizing with the sound of our throats. Got overtones like a half-dead goat. Beguiling, got you smiling. Didn't notice this song only got four notes. I'm begging you to join my revolution, baby.
Yeah, that's how you trick it. You don't notice what's happening in the song when you hear this sound.
To rip your loving voice out, darling. You banished us with sarcastic asides. Got rid of us like those cute baby Jedi. Wow. You gay-capped and you auto-tuned. Everyone sounded smooth like Charlie Poole. I was scowling, I was growling. We want vengeance, see you howling.
It really do be
you
true.
Were joking, disrespecting. Now we're back in, now we're flexing. You think you quit with your half-assed crack. Talking smack about Nickelback. Now we're about to roll up like Hydra. Let me introduce you to the new Rough Riders. And now, the throatiest, growliest, most grotesque singers from every age are emerging from cryosleep to take over the world. I, Dr. Kroger,
will be with the
revolution. Join us or die. Look at this photograph. Every time I do, it makes me laugh.
Wow.
Can you take me higher?
They're all coming back.
I'm empty. Is this on fire? You're shaking in the knees. Could I kill you?
You know what?
They've been
sacrifice.
Hiding.
How much I sacrifice?
Why? I've abandoned my child.
I've abandoned my boy.
I've abandoned my boy.
Give me. I'm just a film that we know.
Wow. Hey.
The biggest crime was sneaking in the historic growlers, Louis Armstrong and Janis Joplin.
That's it.
Yeah, I was like, oh man, y'all got Louis?
Everybody was there. You thought they went away, but they had just been in cryosleep.
Anyone who growled.
Wow.
and now they're back.
Or at least only the larynx was in cryosleep, and now they put the larynx, they transplanted the larynx onto Måneskin or whoever's going to carry it.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, this song, I guess, is now, it's supposed to be a recruitment tool. You know, join us.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, or die.
Razors and, yeah. And gravel.
Right, or we'll kill you. Because we're taking over the world. With
wow.
This sound.
Excellent, excellent work.
Thank you. Thanks.
I love a good mashup. That ending there, man, chills.
Yeah, Michael was calling it the Council of Throat Singers.
Yeah.
That's sort of the working title. I don't know, throat singer to me is like the Mongolian dudes that are making the overtones.
But these are modern throat singers. They're doing the same thing. You hear those overtones.
Yeah. I don't know, you may program. Have, I want our astute listeners to weigh in or not whether or not I sound more hoarse right now than I did in the earlier interview part of this episode, because I was just screaming like, well, my bad impression of Chad Kroeger for quite some time making this happen, and my voice is really tired.
Yeah, how do you feel? How did you feel after? Did you like ice your neck or something? Like, what did you do? Did you like gargle Campbell's chicken in the soup?
I should. That's a good idea for tonight. I mean, I didn't do anything afterwards. I just experienced pain. It hurt. It really hurt.
Yeah, man.
This podcast is not visual, but Evan's neck veins are bulging. It's rippling.
Yeah, his neck is like substantially thicker than I've ever seen it.
Yeah, it looks like I did CrossFit just from my collarbone up to my jaw.
Evan's like dangling that weight just from his head, you know? <You're> like,
just those four and a half inches of me are absolutely ripped.
Yeah, and it looks like a sunburn, too, like a really massive sunburn, just only around his neck. Really.
Mm-hmm. Like a collar.
Yeah.
Now, what I want to know from...
You have to wear a neck brace.
What I want to know from both Daniel and listeners, you can hit us, DM us, tweet at us, whatever. Mm-hmm. I want to know who from the Council of Throat Singers do you feel like could be added if we ever made a 10-minute version of Nothing But Throat Singers? Who did we miss out on? I would say I would volunteer that one person I meant to put in but didn't was Steven Tyler.
Yeah, we missed Steven.
Isn't he in there?
So really, really quick rundown of who is in there. Nickelback, Imagine Dragons, The Kings of Leon, Creed, Can You Take Me Higher, right? AC/DC is the really high screaming guy. And then Kurt Cobain from Nirvana, of course. And then a couple of movie clips.
Pearl Jam.
Yeah, Pearl Jam is in there. Oh, the Goo Goo Dolls. Was it the Willem Dafoe as Green
Willem
Goblin?
Dafoe
was in there?
As Green
was
Goblin.
Goblin.
You know how much I sacrificed?
That was so funny.
He's not Green Goblin in that moment, but the Goblin's coming out. You know, he's in the boardroom.
Yeah. It's taking over.
And
his
then a really iconic growly delivery by Daniel Day-Lewis saying, "I've abandoned my child. I've abandoned my boy."
That's a really famous scene.
Louis Armstrong and Janis Joplin, the original really raspy singers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the collage as it stands. But Michael's right. You know, as the council grows, as the power grows of Dr. Kroeger's misfit band and they begin to take over the world, more people are going to get sucked into this supervillain group. It's the anti-Avengers. And so I guess we need to hear from the fans in the DMs who to add to the collage besides Steven Tyler. He's number one on the list. And we could get this thing to 10 minutes easy, I think.
It could be anyone from your favorite Mongolian throat singer to your famous 70s rock singer.
This was great. I love the punch up. That's so funny.
Thanks. I think we've hit on something really important here. I hope that Marvel Studios is hitting us up to use this as a theme song to their next franchise film. I think this is telling a true story of, like, the raspy, rocky singing has been out. And now it's coming back. Måneskin is bringing it back.
Coming back, baby.
And you guys better watch out.
That line about the Charlie Puth, that everybody sounds like Charlie. That's like so true, actually. There's a lot less imperfection allowed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I call it the kids' bopification of music. But everything goes in waves, ebbs and flows. And I think that now we're going to see some of the anti.
Nice Måneskin is emblematic of the de-Puthification.
The de-Puthification.
The de-Puthification.
Yeah, you know, you'll see it in even in cleaner people like Olivia Rodrigo. She'll have more shouty hit singles. And, you know, now that anyone who's listening has heard this episode, it'll be like that thing where you, like,
learn a new vocab word and then suddenly you see it like every day on like advertisements, you're like, wait, what is going on here? You're going to hear Nickelback singing everywhere.
I'm going to try to get ahead of the trend. You know, now that we've had this analysis, we can see the trend coming. We can get ahead of it. You know, you don't want to follow people and be the last guy to be singing real growl. I'm going to go even further and only shout. Yeah. I'm only going to shout and scream and get ahead of the trend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever heard of heavy metal?
Heavy metal.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Metal that's heavier?
It's like, I know it sounds like a material, like RuneScape, but it's a genre of music where
I don't get what this metallurgy has to do with music.
Yeah, what can this? It sounds like something from Minecraft that can be even stronger than obsidian.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about Minecraft?
No, I'm talking about a genre of music. They scream. It's okay. We could table this for another time.
This is a whole episode.
Okay.
They're inventing new music.
Yeah, it sounds interesting, I guess.
I do like metal. Big metal fan.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's hard for me to have the last name Thrasher without being told my entire life about like thrash metal or like thrash music.
Oh, yeah, people must be always punning metal puns to your face and thinking that, it's the first time.
The biggest one is like, but you don't even skate. And I'm like, I don't. I'm a loser. Like, I'm very proudly a loser. Like, you know,
I'm a Thrasher in surname only.
Yeah, no, I'm a goofball with a piano on YouTube. I'm not at all a cool guy.
We're ready for my favorite way to close the show, because it's the only way we close the show, and that is called walk-in music. What is your walk-in in music? And this is where we all share a song and imagine a scenario, a scene, where we might walk into this particular song. And Daniel, I'll put you on the spot by throwing to you, because I thought you had such a delicious pick this week. Can you tell us what your pick is, or paint a picture of what you might want to walk into? An example might be you are, say, going to enter the WWE ring during WWE Raw, and you love to walk into Paco Bell's Cannon and D. Or you're on a first date. Or whatever it might be.
Picture
the red carpet.
Picture this. Applebee's.
Oh, I'm picturing.
Whoa.
The front door opens. Okay, there's a backlight, just a big backlight, a heavenly entrance. Okay.
Yes. Easy to picture.
I float into this Applebee's 2 for $20 paradise.
Hell yeah.
Microwaved meals.
Chicken marsala all the way.
I enter this paradise very light-footed. Some would even say tiptoey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There's a bed of flowers at the entrance of this Applebee's.
Because they knew you're coming.
Because they knew I was coming. And the flowers of my choice are tulips.
Love it.
So let's say my entrance to Applebee's, cheap margaritas, is tiptoeing through the tulips by Tiny Tim.
Tiptoe through the window, by the window.
Yes, I'll take a margarita, please.
Coming right up.
I'll get the 2 for $20.
Tulips, hey, everybody, Daniel's back. Hey, guys, he came. Break out the special tequila. Hey! It's a party.
That's
now.
Like a drop of dust or something.
Diane, it's that kid Daniel again. He came back.
Yeah, I'll take the chicken penne pasta, please.
Oh, this is so happy.
Oh, it's the best.
It's so pure.
What a great bridge.
Works really well at an Applebee's, but I wouldn't put it past you to use it at the finest haute dining establishment.
Oh yeah, take me to Crossroads out here in West Hollywood, the vegan joint. So fancy.
You could stroll into Le Bernardin. You could stroll into Ratatouille. What's the name of the restaurant that he opens at the end of that movie? Which
are you just asking me that because I look like Linguini? Are you asking me that?
Evan's harassment.
That's subconsciously must be the reason it was put into my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. No. No, I don't know. What is the name of the? It's in French, isn't it? It's like La Quesadilla or something.
La Quesadilla, that famous French word.
Yeah.
Quesadilla.
Yeah.
Is it just called Ratatouille?
That's the name of the movie. I think it is called La Ratatouille.
La Ratatouille.
It's called La Ratatouille.
Wow, because that's pretty low-hanging fruit there.
Yeah, he blew that critic's mind with his Ratatouille. And, of course, the rat's name was also Ratatouille, as we all know.
I thought the rat's name was Remy.
The rat's name is Remy, Michael!
I'm just trying to Mandela effect people.
Stop it!
Don't we all remember? Listen. It's about a rat
and the name of the
Ratatouille.
Stop spreading your lies! Stop spreading your rat lies! Michael! My scene this week is a real-life scene that I wish I had music for. Just something I experienced last week when we had our first like truly hot day in New York. I was out with the kids at the park. There's tons of people out at the park because it's sweltering, but it's just dry as a bone. People are sweating. People are grumpy. And this was not supposed to happen until next week, and I think when Memorial Day is the official start of summer, but some genius parks worker saw the suffering people of Brooklyn and snuck into the pump house and turned on the water at the splash pad. So everyone is out on this dry concrete plaza, and all of a sudden, against all expectations, all these fountains started going off. The splash pad opened up. Water started spraying everywhere. Sprinklers were on. And this audible cheer of joy went up from the crowd. And I wish that there had been a soundtrack to this cinematic, real-life moment of joy. The one I would pick is this tune.
Oh, yeah.
Grazing in the Grass by the best band name, Friends of Distinction. The crowds went wild. It was truly a scene of joy. Just kids and adults sprinting through spraying water, smiling, hugging each other. Spontaneous picnics were breaking out. We made friends. And I feel like I'm in some kind of simpatico rhythm with you, Daniel, because this song's grazing in the grass and you're tiptoeing through the tulips.
Man.
Spring must be in the air.
There's all kinds of allergies. I love it when a background singer's like...
Yeah, grazing in the grass is a gas. Just using the background vocals as a rhythm instrument, you know, that's the same rhythm.
Yeah,
that's the same rhythm that a funk guitar would be playing, you know. Grazing in the grass is a gas. Suck it to me, suck it to me. That's so good, man.
It's so good.
This song is
so good.
It's a supreme mood, and that's what I wish was playing the day the splash pad turned on.
That'd have been perfect.
That's our two entries for walk-in music this week. Daniel Thrasher, this has been a joy, and I want to share with our audience more details about what we alluded to at the top of the pod, which is that you're going on an in-person tour, sharing your own music and comedy and music comedy. When does that commence, and how can people get tickets?
Well, y'all can see where and when at DanielThrasher.com or DanielThrasherLive.com. They're the exact same website.
Two domains! Oh!
Utah!
Yeah, I just figured I'd repurpose one for the other. But it starts June 15th. I'm going to be in Milwaukee. I'm going to be in Chicago. I got two shows there.
Love it.
I'm going to be in Ferndale, Michigan, which is basically Detroit. And I'm going to be in Grand Rapids. At the end of those shows, I'll come back to LA, and I found out today that I'm essentially opening VidCon.
Whoa.
Doing the whole show. I'm going to do the show out here for VidCon, which is going to be so sick.
That's amazing. That's incredible, man. Congratulations.
Thanks.
What are the VidCon? I'm sure it's sold out, but what are the VidCon dates of your opening show?
Yeah, so it'll be on June 22nd, which is a Wednesday, and I'm like the first big thing that's happening.
That is
awesome.
Which
is cool. It's like I'm welcoming the people.
Welcome. Look at the video people in real life. We exist.
We exist.
We exist outside of a screen.
Watch me sing and dance.
I'm not
a VTuber.
I have
a degree in theater. This is how I get out of debt. No.
And this is not MadCon, the convention of furries. This is VidCon.
VidCon.
Convention of vids.
The convention
of
vids.
Don't mind that I'm wearing a fox suit the entire time.
It's okay if you merge the furries and VidCon. You can make videos of furries. That's in. As long as you make a video of it, you're at the right con.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can't wait. I think the tour is going
to
be great.
Most people that are listening to the episode have probably seen your videos on YouTube already, but where can people find you on all the platforms?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm starting to pop off on TikTok for some reason. So lately, a lot of people have been recognizing me from TikTok. Just look up my name, Daniel Thrasher, on all platforms, primarily YouTube and TikTok. If you don't know who I am, you know, there's a series that did really well on YouTube called When You Accidentally Write Songs That Already Exist. That's pretty big on TikTok as well. And on TikTok, I had this anxiety character, the social anxiety character, get like over 10 million views of, you know, not wanting to go anywhere.
I have to say, who doesn't love anxiety content in these trying times?
Man.
We've been longtime fans. It's so real. And that's the first video I saw of yours of accidentally writing a previously existing
hit. Oh, really?
And it's something, you know, so many people can relate to, not just with songwriting, but with many things. You think you got $1 billion idea, and then you realize you just invented Velcro.
Yep, so here Velcro I go. I'm just plinking out an arpeggio, think I got a great thing going, and then I realize it's Tiny Dancer again.
You're like, am I Mozart? Yep. No, I am a criminal. I am a plagiarist. I will go to jail. Everyone's done it. You know, even Sam Smith accidentally rewrote Tom Petty. Everyone does it because we've all heard thousands of songs and they go into our subconscious. I love that series as well as all the other stuff on your channel.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's just, you know, there's 12 notes. What can you do?
What can you do? What you do is you swerve and you call it a cover.
There you go.
I'm begging for more notes.
Well, you can follow this show at Punch Up the Jam, and you'll see us in witty repartee, probably promoting this episode with Daniel Thrasher. But also, most importantly, you can go on Patreon to support the show, and that is the only place where you can get downloads of the Punch Ups, the impossibly, indubitably improved versions of the songs from this show.
Heck yes, I can't wait for that.
I'm emailing it to you. The prize for being a guest on this show is that you get this song in your own iPhone before anybody else has it.
Well, good, it's like an ear rinse. After I hear the real one, I'm going to need to hear this one. Fix it up.
After you hear him gargle at you, you have to gargle this song to rinse out.
Dark way to express that. Audio I'm so Listerine. Sorry if you're listening to this podcast, dude from Maidskin. Like you're fine. I'm sorry. But geez, it's. I'm sure you didn't expect this song to blow up like it did, but... Man,
he's definitely fine. He made $20 off of Spotify.
He made $20.
Sure. The best compliment that anyone could pay to me if I'm making music is your music reminds me of gargling. This has been Punch Up the Jam. Thank you, Daniel, for coming on the show.
Let's punch it.
Well, heaven low.
Heaven, by the way, I looked up Ratatouille 2, conflicting Google results, which gives me hope.
I love that.
That was a HeadGum original.